This morning, it is a delight to welcome back Jesse Feiler to our program. You should know because he's been with us since the beginning and the inception of this program. He is our tech guru. This morning, we discuss the very sexy topic of inferential software. I Googled that last night, and I couldn't find anything that made sense to me that I could tell you about, so I'm going to leave that to Jesse. Ultimately, we have a question that he has posed us. Is it worth spending $250 just to turn on the lights? We'll go from there. Jesse is an app developer, consultant, trainer, and author. His latest book is iOS App Development for Dummies. His apps include Minutes Machine, the iPad-based app for managing meetings, agendas, and minutes, and Saranac River Trail app. He can be reached at northcountryconsulting.com. And what Jesse does is he, if you go to northcountryconsulting.com, there's a little roundtable page there, and you can see he'll post a lot of articles and things that we talk about. So if you're interested in what we're speaking of, you can just go to North Country Consulting and click on the roundtable page, and you'll see all that stuff there. And we, of course, have a link on our site as well. All of that is in way of introducing Jesse and to welcome him to the roundtable. Thank you very much. Great to have you here.
Good to be here.
I'll move that for you.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I don't do hardware.
We were sharing it earlier. There we go. We had a whole group in here before. Yeah. So it's great to have you here. So first of all, iOS App Development for Dummies. You know, I realize you've done a couple of these, but these four dummy books, do they pay well? It seems like that would be because they're so known that maybe they would do better than.
Well, I've been told that it's the most successful book brand.
Yeah.
In the market,
they have a look.
I don't think that's actually true, because I also have heard that the most successful book brand is the Bible.
That's a pretty big brand.
But once you move from that.
Yeah, you go everything's downhill. The Bible for Dummies.
There was a Bible series for tech. Everything is a series.
Yes.
So that you know what you're getting.
Right. And what you have mastered and why we love having you on this program, and I promise we'll get into the subject in a second, but one of the things that you have mastered is explaining these difficult subjects to people who do it, but also to the layman who is trying to figure it out.
Well, thank you. And I think the trick to it is to approach it with the determination that it's not difficult.
Right.
Sometimes that's harder than other times.
So when we get into this idea of inferential software, now when I looked it up last night, all I was coming up was inferential statistics.
Right.
Okay. And that's not what we're talking about.
Right. And the reason you couldn't find it is a very simple reason.
You made it up.
Yes.
Okay. I was hoping that was the case.
I made it up because I was getting tired of dealing with the phrase artificial intelligence.
AI.
Because it was boring me, and I didn't like it, and it was sort of putting down the general concept of intelligence, I felt, in some ways.
Yeah.
And Rex didn't like that. Rex being my intelligent dog.
Yes. The ultimate in intelligence.
Yeah. So that the idea is that what we're seeing, and a lot of things are coming together now, is that we're moving away from hardware and software that you manipulate directly. The prime example of this is a light switch. You want to turn on a light, you flip the switch.
Right.
Now we have the ability to connect, to use a switch that has a Wi-Fi component to it.
Yeah.
And you can use your smartphone to turn on the lights.
Right.
Which means that we have gone from a 49-cent light switch.
Right.
To whatever it is a smartphone costs. And we don't know what that is because there are contracts and things like that.
So let me
but
ask.
But it's not 49 cents.
No, it's a lot more than that.
Yes.
So let me ask you if this is a fair question to ask, which is, do we do this because it's necessary, or do we do it just because it's kind of cool?
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Okay.
But you're tiptoeing.
I felt like I was.
But it's actually not that. One of the problems that we have, and that's why I started talking about this concept, is that we're still in early days of this stuff.
Right.
You know, the smartphone is a light switch. And its early adopters are using it. It's sort of the cool stuff. Isn't it interesting to do this?
Right.
To turn on the lights with your smartphone. But in fact, what really is important is that it's a digital device. And it means that instead of turning the lights on or off, which is really pretty boring.
Right.
I can take an app or software or a database, whatever you want to use, and say, okay, I've got 4 people coming for dinner tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn on the light in the dining room. I want the dining room to be lit if they're coming at 8, at 7:45. I don't want to have to worry about it because I already have that information in my date book.
Okay.
And what I can add to that, and this is the inferential part, is saying, okay, there's a rule that if I'm having people coming for dinner, I want the lights on in the dining room, in the front walk, or whatever, 15 minutes before. And I don't care when they're coming for dinner. All I care about is that 15 minutes before an event in my house, lights go on in the appropriate rooms. That is a rule that can be set up once, and you never touch it again. That's the inferential part of it, which is moving beyond the idea of using your smartphone as a light switch, but saying, I want the smartphone to look at something it already knows about, which is my date book.
Yeah.
And look at a rule that I've created, which is turn on the lights in the appropriate room 15 minutes before and just do it. It's sort of demonstrated the best way in which you can see the demonstration of this sort of thing is on PBS.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Take a look at Downton Abbey.
Oh, I do every winter, yes.
And you'll see that's how it works. Except it's not a smartphone, it's the staff.
Okay.
They know to turn on the lights in the appropriate place.
They know.
Yes.
They know what they do.
So we can now all live, more or less, in Downton Abbey with our smartphones. That's the idea. The idea is that you can set up some kind of rule, some kind of inference that says, if I have people coming for an event that takes place in this room, I want the room to be lit. And if not, you know, you fire them. You know, that's how they do it on Downton Abbey.
Sure, yeah, you know, or they're killed,
you know,
off.
Or Maggie Smith, you know, does something.
Glowers at them or whatever.
But that's the point. The point is that we've got these pieces and we're not putting them together yet. What we're doing is we're using the intelligent devices as stupid switches.
Okay, so when you say we...
Not you.
You don't mean us. You mean the manufacturers who are ultimately trying to train us. Is that accurate of saying? Let me give you an example,
yeah.
Which is the other night I went out and I got a new Blu-ray player. All right, and I installed the Blu-ray player, and the first thing that came up is that with my iPhone I can sync it to my Blu-ray player so that I can. Do all of the activities that I would need. I don't need a remote. I can do everything right on my iPhone. Now, when I'm in the house, which is where the Blu-ray player is, and my television, there's a remote nearby. So I don't really need to go to that trouble. This is why I asked the cool question, mm-hmm. because I don't need to do that to pick up my iPhone to manipulate my Blu-ray player. But... they have given me that option. It seems as though the reason they have given me that option is because somewhere down the line they have something else in mind.
Well, and that's what I'm interested in. Because the point is not – the point is being able to use these other tools. Once we're in the digital world, which
right.
is where we are now with these devices, it seems a shame to go back to the analog world and use your smartphone as a switch. But if you want, with your Blu-ray player, whatever, being able to turn it on or off or select the music with an iPhone doesn't really give you all that much. But if you want to say, I want to set up a rule that when certain guests come, I always use guests for some reason.
Yeah.
When certain guests come, I'm thinking of a specific person. I would like, if this guest is arriving, I would like music to play and no Wagner.
Okay, right.
I'm thinking of, and I can think of another person. These are two people whom I can't invite to the same occasion because I have another friend who only wants Wagner.
Right.
You know. So that's the point. The point is not just is saying the selection of the music can be automated.
Or if I know that I'm getting, if I'm coming home to work at 6 o'clock and the kids are getting home at 4 and I don't want them to watch certain programming, I can, A, monitor that and also make sure that it cannot be engaged, correct?
Yeah, and you can do, actually, you can do that in
yeah,
various
I know you can
ways.
Do it anyway, but you know. Well, same with the light switch.
Yeah, but but the point is that once you've got these pieces together, including digital controls like a light switch with Wi-Fi and so
right.
forth. Once you have those pieces, you can put them together in new ways that rely on these rules.
Now, here's the greatest thing, and tell me if this is what you're talking about, because to me, as I was reading it, I thought sort of that this was, because to me, this is the greatest thing in the world, which is, oh my God, I forgot to tape this program. I'm on the road, and I forgot to DVR this show that I wanted to watch. And then I take out my smartphone and I plug it in and it DVRs it. That's the coolest thing in the world.
But you can do that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I say. I do that now. Yes. That's what I'm saying. So is that what we're talking about?
But that's not taking it as far as you can. Taking it really far.
Is that I can do it at your house.
But I think we and
if I'm ever to be a guest.
And I think part of the issue is that whenever we have new technologies, it's very hard to let go of the old technologies.
Yeah.
And so we talk about things in the old-fashioned way. So we talked about horseless carriages. We talked about wireless, which is what this medium used to be called, because the only way we knew how to describe things was in the past tense. So instead of saying using a new term like radio, we would say wireless because that's what people knew. Mm. So that's what we're getting to, and the opportunities are in building these rules.
Do you think, so I mean, you're a developer, so do you think that once we come to this understanding that it will, again, I feel like we're being trained for the future so that we can expect that this is the way that instead of having that option of a light switch or doing it by your phone, that you won't even have that option, the switch won't be there.
Yes, and what's happened as these things become integrated, then what we're going to start seeing, and we are seeing it now in some cases,
yeah,
people are going to see combinations they've never thought of. They're going to see a calendar that turns on the lights. Now, we can do that today, but you
right.
have to do it manually. It's hard to go out and buy an app that does calendaring and light switching.
Yeah.
But that's where the opportunities are. That's what's happening.
Now, I know we've touched on fringes of this subject before, and I thought that one of the things, and correct me if I'm wrong, but also what we're talking about here is not just, you know, something as for want of a better term, frivolous as turning on the lights. But we could be talking about healthcare. We could be talking about our medicine, about how we take care of ourselves, whether in a hospital setting or elsewhere, correct? I mean, this is how this technology can be used.
You've been cheating. You've been reading the media.
I tried to study up, yeah. So is the media accurate or not?
The media is always accurate.
I know. I, well, it's It depends on who you talk to, but go ahead.
One of the announcements that our friends at Apple made for the next operating system is
iOS 8 is something called
HealthKit.
Yeah.
Which is going to integrate devices such as the non-existent but widely rumored iWatch.
Right.
With sensors and so forth, so that these inferences and so forth can move forward.
And this is like oxygen, blood sugar, you know, things that you are tested for that can be included within this.
That can be useful and things that can be tested for easily.
And change your quality of life. I mean, it makes life completely different.
And what we're going to start seeing is that it's very nice for something to read your blood pressure and let your doctor know
right. What
the blood pressure. We have that.
Yeah.
That's no big deal. But it is a big deal for people who don't have it. But we can go even further. And here's where it gets really tricky, is can we go and take that information and go to the next step? And that's where everyone is very, very interested. And that's what the FDA is very interested in now, because we don't want to go at this point to saying, okay, your blood pressure has changed. Change the dosage of this medication.
Right.
We don't want to do that yet because we don't trust it enough.
No. And we still want a doctor to, I mean, even any you would want to consult with someone who knows what they're doing.
And those are the issues that come about in the self-driving car.
Right.
So what we're getting at is lots of opportunities to do things that maybe we did dream of, but they're quite amazing. And now we're starting to see that they can happen, and we start to deal with them and decide what we want to do. Do we want the self-driving car to change lanes at the same time that it is changing your blood pressure medication intravenously?
No.
Probably we don't want those two things to happen simultaneously.
this seems like, again, this may be a dumb thing to say, but it seems like, and this may be unfortunate, but it seems like you almost, if we're going to go down that road, that it's trial and error, but this is pretty important trial and error. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's health and car crashes and...
Right. So there's a lot of trust that we have to have in the... You mentioned this. I mean, you have to have a lot of trust in what we're... in the operating system of what we're doing.
We have to have a lot of trust, and we also have to have a degree of certainty that the code that we're writing works. And that's another area, because our software in general is not as good, as reliable as it could be.
But here again, isn't it just cool to have a self-driving car? I mean, you can drive a car. It's just cool, right? That idea? You just said the things we dream of.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure I want a self-driving car. I've watched too much Downton Abbey. I want a chauffeur. But I'm sorry.
You deserve one, damn it.
But yes, it's very interesting. But I do think this is where we're going, and it's exciting.
You can read a whole bunch of cool stuff that Jesse has put up on his site. It's northcountryconsulting.com. We have it on our site as well, which is wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Jesse Filer's latest book is iOS App Development for Dummies, and he provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. Again, northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse Filer, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.